The Point Radio.
Mike Robb, the Blacklist is back, and what a great place to be. The series returns right after the Super Bowl, and we talk to series star Megan Boone and the executive producers on how this is going to affect what happens for the rest of this season. Plus, John C. McGinley, he's gruff, he's tough, but you know you love him. From Scrubs to Ground Floor, we'll find out how all that works coming up. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
The second half of the new season of the NBC hit The Blacklist is about ready to get underway, with the first episode airing after the Super Bowl. A pretty choice spot for any TV series, and executive producer John Eisendereth said he couldn't be happier.
Look, it's a huge opportunity, you know. It's a lot of potential, new eyeballs watching the show. And, I suppose on one hand that could be intimidating. I think we see it as a great opportunity, you know, to let people see what the show is. And I also think that the episode, it's a two-parter, but it's a very easy access point. I think somebody who's never seen the show before will be able to drop in very quickly and get a real sense of, what the show is, how it feels, smells, tastes, all of that. So as much as we do have some sort of serialized elements, I think that's one of the most exciting things about it. But it's also a huge vote of confidence from the network, and it's incredibly flattering, quite frankly.
This special episode begins a two-episode arc that features Ron Perlman, which is kind of an interesting twist.
Well, Luther Braxton is a thief who goes about stealing things through incredibly complex methods. He sort of disguises his heists in big events. So there might be a massive snowstorm, or there might be a political uprising in some corner of the world where he's looking for something. And so he's constantly moving in these amid this sort of chaos and creating chaos wherever he goes. And we thought that it was a great sort of big, fun character that would fit really well with the Super Bowl and be, a little bit of a different sort of blacklister in scope and size and in terms of what he's after and how important it is to Red.
There have been some major changes for Megan Boone's character Liz this season, and I ask if she was surprised at those turn of events.
Yeah, I certainly have had a reaction to it, but it wasn't surprised. I was delighted and intrigued by the new direction, as well as I sort of anticipated it as it was coming, because there was no way, especially with Liz being sort of the protagonist in the sense that Red is a catalyst for her change, there was no way that she could stagnate and stay where she was, especially with all that was happening with her. So her evolution was essential to the show's growth. And I was definitely glad to see that start to happen toward the end of season one and really intensely into season two.
Of course, at the center of it all is award-winning actor James Spader, who both John and Megan truly appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, look, James always has great ideas. He's incredibly intuitive. He has a great sense of the character, and he's an incredible collaborator. Megan, you have far more experience just sort of on set and in the day-to-day grind of that. I look at it more from a sort of story perspective, but maybe you can speak to that.
Well, James is definitely the master of the ship over here, and he this is not his first rodeo, as they say, down south where I'm from. That's just an example, particularly, of how different he and I are and why this is working so well. He's from Boston, and I'm from rural central Florida. His parents were professors, and mine dealt in real estate. I mean, we come from different sides of the earth, and not literally, but figuratively, and it's just sort of interesting to put the two of us together and see what happens. He's had 30 years experience in the business, one successful television show, and this is essentially my first go at it. So it's been invaluable having him here to help acclimate me to this new environment and this new task that at hand. And I feel that, you know, we've been extraordinarily successful beyond my wildest dreams. And I definitely think that it's his wisdom and experience that has helped me to rise to that occasion.
Catch a return of The Blacklist right after the Super Bowl, and then it moves to its new slot every Thursday on NBC. And catch up on what you may have missed, too, on Hulu Plus. Let's jump into all the latest in pop culture. In order to lead the way into Secret Wars in a few months, Marvel is releasing 10 introductory comics that'll sell for a dollar, each one containing the first chapter and one of the big story arcs from Marvel over the past few years. It'll all be called True Believers, and among the first issues you'll get will be Infinity Gauntlet, Marvel Zombies, Age of Apocalypse, Civil War, Planet Hulk, House of M, Old Man Logan, and so many others. There's a total of 10, and they'll be available in stores in April. Secret Wars kicks off from Marvel in May. It's set to play Minecraft with The Simpsons. The characters will be available all through a new deal between Xbox and 20th Century Fox. It'll be a character pack that's going to be available to download in late February. It'll work for the Xbox and the Xbox One for Minecraft. Let's subtitle this, Captain Kirk and the Kiddies. William Shatner is now going to narrate a new Sprout space series called Clangers, which is actually a reboot of a BBC stop animation show from back in the 60s. He'll be doing this with the new series. It'll premiere on Sprout in June. Robert Charles Wilson's novel Spin is going to be turned into a six-hour miniseries for the Sci-Fi Network. That deal was inked late last week. Look for some pre-production dates to be announced sometime over the next month or so. Well, we talked about how comic sales ended up for 2014. We didn't really touch on what happened in the comic stores in 2014 over 2013 in December, up about 6%, but a decline in graphic novels of well over 5%. Two together push up 2014 to be a pretty good year for both comics and graphic novels. Interestingly enough, as you look at December, Marvel and DC share of the market are pretty close. And the other most interesting story is Dark Horse is now in the number 5th position for market share, below both IDW and Image, mainly due to the loss of the Star Wars franchise for them. All that being said, top 10 best-selling comics for the month of December in comic stores. Begin at number 10 with Avengers and X-Men Axis number 8. At number 9, Avengers and X-Men Axis number 9. At number 8, Avengers and X-Men Axis number 7. I'll let that settle in for a minute, and then we'll go on to number 7 for the month, which is Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 1. Justice League number 37 comes in at number 6. At number 5, it is a third issue of the new Thor series. At number 4, third Batman Annual number 3, Mark Waid's reboot of the S.H.I.E.L.D. franchise. At number 2, Amazing Spider-Man number 11. And the other big book for the month, at number 1, Batman number 37 from DC. As we said, a quiet month for graphic novels, too. The top two best-selling were at number 2, Captain America, Peggy Carter, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. at number 2. And number 1 best-selling graphic novel in December was Saga Volume 4 from Image. You meant that John C. McGinley is a TV comedy king. From his days on Scrubs to his current gig on the TBS comedy Ground Floor, John has had a career that began, well, a little more like a Hollywood script.
I was understudying John Turturro in Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, which is a play written by a writer who would go on to win an Academy Award for Moonstruck, the film that Cher won a statue for, John Shanley. And John Turturro finally went to go do Desperately Seeking Susan with Madonna, and so I got to go on for about 5 shows. And at that point, one of Oliver Stone's talent scouts came down, and they invited me to audition for Platoon.
Wow!
And so I went up and auditioned for Platoon. I got a very small role, was thrilled, and then the film was canceled for 2 years. When it was reconstituted, I was offered the fourth lead in the movie because some actors had gone their separate ways, and I took it. And as soon as I took it, there was a revolution in the Philippines, and so we were delayed for another 6 months while that got squared away. Then we finally went to the Philippines and shot Platoon.
So what made him migrate from drama to comedy?
Oh, I don't know. I always just wanted to pay the bills and not have to go back to waiting tables. And so whatever they sent me, I tried to stay agile enough. I tried to stay nimble enough on the page to be able to serve what the writer and what the director wanted. To me, that's what it's about. It's about showing up on the set and serving what's on the page. And hopefully the director's vision.
From his days on Scrubs, John's had a relationship with award-winning producer Bill Lawrence. So when Bill created Ground Floor, did he write the role of Mansfield with John in mind?
He did. I was just back by you doing an amazing revival of Glengarry Glen Ross with Al Pacino and Bobby Cannavale and Richard Schiff. And we were up on Broadway there and at the Schoenfeld. And Billy came to the show one night, and he said, when you're done with this, because it was a limited run, we only did 100 performances, would you like to go back to doing a television show? And I said, I don't know. My cup is pretty full, thanks to Scrubs. And he said, well, we're going to shoot it live. And then he salted my peanut the way every actor wants it salted. He said, you can have total creative autonomy when it comes to creating this character. And that did it. That's what most actors need to hear. And sure shooting, he was good to his word. He always is. And he gave me as much rope as I wanted to hang myself with in creating this character on Ground Floor.
John's fans are obviously going to draw some similarities between his Scrubs character of Dr. Cox and Mansfield, who he plays on Ground Floor. But John's gone to great efforts to keep the two characters different, including creating a kind of unique voice.
Yeah, I wanted to find some sound that divorced me from Cox as much possible. And so when I was Chris, it was right when Daniel Day-Lewis was creating the voice for Abraham Lincoln, and I saw Daniel do a bunch of interviews, and he was suggesting that because Lincoln's voice is not recorded anywhere, Daniel had to come up with it. And I felt the same way about Cox. I wanted to come up with his voice, and so I kind of made him a combo sandwich of Jason Robards, Lee J. Cobb, and George Scott. And so I put him way in the back of my throat, all three of whom I kind of hero worship. And I put that voice way in the back of my throat, and it made the cadence entirely different than anything Cox. Cox could just rattle on with this kind of tenor sound that was caught up way in the front of his face and his nasal cavity. This guy's way in the back of his throat, and it's a whole different approach to this character.
Comedy is king on cable these days, and so many sitcoms have, well, despicable characters that aren't necessarily the kind you'd like to have in your life. John's characters have always had an edge, but at the core were basically very likable. How's he managed to create that?
No, I think, for me, I got to find what's redeemable about this guy, and I always put it in the margin. When I'm dealing with verbs with these characters, I always put verbs in the margin on what I want them to do with the words. And for Cox and for Mansfield, they're always trying to find where the compassion is. And so I got to have guys who can look for compassion. Otherwise, they get bored.
New episodes of Ground Floor every Tuesday on TBS. And you can see more episodes right now at TBS.com.
Good point.
That does it for the podcast. We're back in a few days as we take a look at the return of the King of the Nerds. We talked to Robert Carradine, Curtis Armstrong, and a couple of the previous nerds to find out what's going to be coming up in this season. Catch all that and more on great websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, and the iTunes podcast directory, and on GetThePointRadio.com, too. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under The Point Radio, and we'll see you back here in a few days.
Get the-